You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is Savannah Murphy with All In, where your existence is authentically you. We get into real talk in real time. Let's go. Brought to you by Bashani Radio in New York City, where we are always talking about everything. Today, I cannot even tell you how excited I am about my guest. She is a woman of many looks and a beautiful heart with a warm story. I would like to welcome Tiffany Barber, also known as AKA T Barb. How are you?
Woo! I make my own audience. I'm great. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. And I definitely appreciate it. It is an honor to be on with you today, Savannah.
Oh, thank you so much. So today, what I really want to dig into is I want people to be able to just hear your heart and hear your story. I mean, with your book, Faith Over Fear, and just the things that you dive into and the things that you've been through and touch on, and your persona and personality that you put out there, your authenticity for everyone is just, it's so alluring to everybody. And I want people to be able to hear that today. I really want to try to dive in and talk about your, you know, humble beginnings and how you kind of overcame that and broke the cycle as now being, you know, a mother and now being an entrepreneur of all these different things, a comedian on a major network, someone who has her own radio show, just all the different hats that you wear, how you do that and how that became T-Bar being All In.
Well, first, once again, I want to thank you for that, you know, for that gracious introduction into my big mouth. But I appreciate that. And as you mentioned, I have the book Faith Over Fear, Tales of a Retired Hood Rat. I know a lot of people always say, why would you use the term or the moniker hood rat? And I like to use that because I feel that it shows a level of growth. You know, from the very bottom and not the very top, but to just climbing your way through and being able to be self-made and being able to come outside of a certain environment to have the life that you want no matter where you start. I have some t-shirts, they say you don't have to stay where you start, because that's literally what I mean. And in the book, it's available on Amazon, Kindle, of course, on my website, tbarbisfunny.com. In the book, I start by defining what a hood rat is, because there's a lot of times that we all have different definitions of things. You know, sometimes you have this thought process, well, it's common sense to me. Well, common sense ain't common. Just like definitions and how we all think about things are different. So I start by just letting people know that anybody could be a hood rat. And excuse the listeners, I don't want the Kardashian clan to come after me, but Kim, she retired hood rat like T-Bar. And that's because when you a hood rat, you do different things for your hood, meaning your environment. The hood doesn't, I'm from the hood. Now, I'm from a neighborhood called Joy Road, Detroit. But even if you're from West Bloomfield, Michigan, if you're from Martha's Vineyard in New York, that's your hood. It may not be socioeconomically the same, but it's your hood. It's where you grew up at. And, you know, hood is short for neighborhood. So I just wanted to say that when people do things that are conducive to your neighborhood, so let's say you live somewhere affluent, you may go into white collar crime to keep up with your neighbor. You may commit fraud. That's being a hood rat to me. you know, because you're doing whatever to keep up with the Joneses and to keep those fronts up. So I start by defining that. And also, just talking about like my lifestyle as far as my parents met fresh out of prison. They were in a prison vocational program where they, my mama thought she was a mechanic, you know, she was one of them, you know, bag up, I got it. And so they met and they ended up having me. My mother had been in prison several times. She also had some mental health issues. And just as a result of the way she was raised, because my mother was raised in foster care. And as a result, she was in an abusive foster home. And just being a product of her environment, back in the 50s and the 60s, where the system wasn't as conducive as it is now to helping children. It was more like, you go live with them and we'll see you later. So right. She didn't really get the help that she needed, which led to her going to prison and which led to her having mental illness, just as a result of everything she went through in prison and everything she went through in life. And so I was raised around a lot of mental illness, around a lot of crime. You know, my parents had their hands in different drugs, things like that. We were more community focused, so I never went without certain things, but I learned to be an adult at an early age. I started smoking when I was 11 or 12 years old, cigarettes, marijuana, hanging out with adults, you know, drinking alcohol, and just living hood life. I stole a car before, passed the statute of limitations, so don't tell nobody.
You're retired, okay? I'm whatever retired. You say
relapse
is free.
Relapse is a part of recovery. Relapse is a part of recovery, Savannah, so... If you see me doing some hood rat stuff, turn your head to the left.
Oh, she's just relapsing. She'll be fine.
And I'll be fine. I know how to get out of it. But from going from that to going to college on my own, I was able to go and obtain a bachelor's of art degree from a school called Dillard University in New Orleans. I went there by myself. I only had a suitcase and a boombox. There I started to cultivate some things, you know, a little different, and just learn different things. And I started attaching myself to people that could take me where I needed to go. So it's just so important that in life, you know, you find the people that your spirits align and they can help you reach your goals. After that, I went on to be a foster care worker myself. Mm. I thought that was just an ode to my mom's story, and I really wanted to be the change in someone's life. That I knew that my mother didn't have. So I went on to have a social work career for 14 years. I also went on to get an MBA from the University of Detroit Mercy.
That's killing it.
Yes!
Breaking the cycle. I mean, really, there's nothing bigger than truer and more inspirational than watching someone break a cycle.
Oh, and a cycle it was. Like, sometimes when you're living the lifestyle that, like, so now, I don't worry about a lot of things I did growing up. I'll forget. So sometimes I have to remind myself how far I've come. Because, you know, in life, we're clawing for the next level. So sometimes you can be so transfixed and focused on getting more that you forget how far you've come.
And that's like a prime example of being all in. It doesn't get much more of a definition than that. You know, going back to your humble beginnings and being able to look back and realize your testimony, giving a voice to your testimony, writing your testimony in a book, and now being able to speak so passionately on it. I mean, really, it's truly, you've come full circle in so many ways, and it's just amazing. You know, who were your mentors?
Well, I think growing up, I had so many. So I had some teachers that really took a liking to me, that helped me. So I just want people out there to know that sometimes you may think that your role in a person's life is small, but it may actually be large. So I think that I had some teachers. Also, I have an older sister. So my sister was 16 years older than me. And although she never wanted to play the role of my mom, she was a strong figure for me. She's been married now for 33 years. So she always was still around. And even when I wanted to go do all my hood rat stuff, she would pull me back and not let me jump off the deep end. And once I went to college as well, I started to meet friends. So I had an aunt that passed when I was 12 years old that talked to me about going to college. And that's what I mean. You'll think, oh, she was 12. She didn't listen to that. She was being bad, smoking weed. But it resonated in my mind forever that I needed to do that. And so, you know, it was just like, I had a culmination. I had teachers, I had some family members. When I got to college, I had professors that really coddled me. And then I met my best friend who lives in LA, who was really pretty much, you know how you have so many yes friends that's like, yes. Yeah, that's cool. You want to sleep with him and date him and be dumb? Oh, that's so fun, girl. And then I had one friend like, nope, you stupid. Don't do that. You know, that
right.
really, instead of was that yes woman.
You have an accountability like, partner. She was your, everyone needs that accountability partner. It's so, we have all those people that are yes, and they kind of want to root you on and just be a part of your existence. But then you have people that want to see you be the best version of you that you can be. And that seems what your best friend has been, you know, for you. And I think too, which I'm so happy, you know, with you sharing your mentors is, and especially that, you know, a little bit about your aunt at 12 years old, I truly believe, and that's what really started to bring me into this podcast of All In, was I have become who I am today because people took the time to share their testimonies with me. And even if it was a 5-minute conversation, some of those conversations were pivotal in changing my life. And that's what your aunt did for you at 12 years old. She changed the trajectory of your life and where you, so for once you saw yourself going to college, and that stuck with you.
Yeah, no, you are absolutely right. She planted that seed. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, I was still, and I also was able to go to a program at a school here called Cranbrook, which was another thing. I don't want to leave that out. That really, 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 because that's where the teacher was at, that really, really helped me because it's such a developmental type of environment. Like they really hone your thought process instead of just memorization. They teach you critical thinking and things of that nature. So I was able to weigh the pros and cons. Hey, if I stay doing this with all my friends who dropped out in middle school, my friends who were pregnant, having kids, a lot of my friends were locked up. I had already had friends that had died, that got shot in the streets. Mm. So I started to weigh the pros and cons of that. And that, in combination with the seeds that were planted, is what allowed me to go further. And one of the reasons I wanted to be a foster care worker and be that agent of change, because I figured if someone could do that for me and just nudge me up a little bit and get me going, then I can do that for someone else. You know, and it's not always about reaching each and every person you come into contact with. It may be one, but that one life is so precious that it's still worth the thought and the try to do something. So that's how I thought about that.
And you were transplanting that seed that teacher planted in you and, you know, giving back. You know, if we don't give back and we don't share our testimonies or we don't share our, you know, our experiences with other people, then that's where they stay, they die, you know, that's our legacy. And when you put those legacy into other people and help them is where you really, I think, develop into the true whole self that you can be. Like, you know, everyone says, I'm living my best life, hashtag best life. It's funny, but I think that it's true. Like there is a point where you can, even if you at the time, I think if you can't see that or, you know, kind of appreciate that there is a such thing as living your best life and putting your best efforts to give all of the gifts and all of the things that people have put into your heart and into your soul and into your existence out there in the universe, that's where the magic happens, in my opinion.
No, you are absolutely right. And one thing that you said that I want to touch on, even with respect to the book, The Faith Over Fear, Tales of a Retired Hood Rat, is that I even have a section in the book where I talk about, I wanted to share my story, especially after I got out of college, because there are a lot of children dealing with parents who are mentally ill. There are a lot of people dealing with mental illness themselves, dealing with being fresh out of prison, dealing with Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I was an NA kid. That's why I get the relapse as a part of recovery, because I've sat in so many AA and NA meetings.
Yep.
I know L&I. One day at a time. Like,
yep.
I understand that. And that's a whole community that there are so many kids that don't know how to deal with that. They don't see a way out of this. You know, when your mom is maybe talking to herself or doing something and at that moment, you feel like this is the worst thing in your life that could ever happen, which pushes you to do negative things. you don't see that. So I wanted to share my story. I felt it could help some other people. And I was going to write this book 10 years ago. Matter of fact, 15 years ago. And a friend of mine told me that my story wasn't special, that it was nothing important or nothing different about what had went to me. People go to college by themselves all the time. And when I started writing, that's when I understood that there's something special in everybody's story. Your story is meant to be told because you never know who you can help. Never. So no. Never let anybody talk you out of telling your story.
No. And you know what? I mean, it's infamous, right? We say haters gonna hate, but it's so true that, you know, it's something when people see you, you know, you have such a powerful spirit and people hear you and see your testimony. Of course, this story is going to change people's lives. And of course, it's going to lift you to your higher self. And it's going to honor so many things, you know, as far as, you know, addiction and, you know, having a mental illness and all of these things that you get to touch on and you get to really show someone how they can persevere and come around to you. Unfortunately, some people just like to keep you at bay because they don't want to see you outgrow them. And, you know, with that, we're going to take a short break and then we're going to get back into how Tiffany Barber became T-Barb.
Oh, that's an interesting story. Fun.
Yay.
Don't go anywhere. You're going to hear this story.
Excellence, experience, prompt service. This is what you get from Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Jones Labor Services. We have over 20 years experience. Good Helpers is there to make your life easier. With 20 years experience, we can take care of any heating or cooling situation. Let Good Helpers help you. Call 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. We have Tiffany Barber, aka T-Barb, with us today. For many of you that are just joining in with us, we're talking about Tiffany and her story and her legacy and how she's all in. How, T-Barb, how can we get in contact with you? If someone wanted to get your book or wanted to follow you, what's some good ways that they can do that?
Well, they can definitely get in touch with me. There are a couple of ways. You can always hit my website, which is www.tbarb, that's T, B as in boy, A-R-B as in boy, isfunny.com. That's tbarbisfunny.com. If you scroll down the store, you can get the book, you can get the t-shirts. You can also see all of my appearances where I'll be. I know that a lot of us are on lockdown, but you can still catch virtual shows. I'm still doing a lot. You can also listen to me on the streets radio. In the mornings, I have a morning radio show from 8 to 11 a.m., which is the Streets with a Z Radio. And also, of course, on social media, my Instagram is T-Barb. That's T-B-A-R-B underscore. If you don't put the underscore, I ain't important enough yet. You're going to see Nicki Minaj. So you got to put T-Barb underscore. or you can definitely go over to Facebook, Comedian T-Barb. I'm available for bookings, hosting. I do motivational speaking. I mean, I'm a vegan chef. I do a little bit of everything. So you can definitely catch me, Comedian T-Barb, Facebook, T-B-A-R-B underscore Instagram, or always on my website, www.tbarbisfunny.com.
All right. Well, you guys are going to go back and re-listen to that and get a pen and paper and write that all down. But right now, for some of you that maybe are just joining us for this second part, I want to kind of jump in and talk about how did you transition from, you know, this child who had to overcome a lot of obstacles with parents that had come from, you know, being incarcerated and drug addiction and all of these different things, to then being a college scholar, to then becoming a social worker, investing back into the community, to then, you know, writing this book and becoming a comedian / entrepreneur / radio host / vegan chef / hot dog stand woman. I mean, is there anything you can't do? But really, how did you become T-Barb, the, you know, I like to always say the comedy queen from the 313. So how is that?
Thank you, Smack Girl. Flattery will get you everything. I appreciate that. Wow, it's
You're actually welcome.
This story. I've always been goofy and silly, and I think that first off, one thing about it is, regardless of what my parents were, they were still great for all of the issues they had, and they were both very funny. So my dad was hilarious. My mom was hilarious. And then I think that I always use humor as a way to get through certain situations. So when you're going through a lot, some people cry and some people laugh. And I just happen to be one of those people that laugh. Maybe sometimes when it wasn't appropriate, somebody bust their ass, so I'd be cracking up. You know, sorry. Excuse my language, but I just always use that humor and things like that. So when I was a social worker for 14 years, it's crazy because I had always said I wanted to do comedy, and I made a bucket list. I suggest anybody does that. Not saying that you're going to die tomorrow, no. But just a list of things and accomplishments that you would like to make, but you know, before later in life. Because you meet so many people that get older, and then they regret not doing a lot of the things that they always wanted to do. So I took care of, like, even with my parents, I took care of them while they were very sick. And I just watched, like, my father lost both his kidneys, both his legs, and I was his care provider. And I just watched a lot of things that he wanted to do, he didn't do. So it made me do a bucket list. And one of my coworkers, one of my coworkers that was a social worker with me actually worked in comedy. And she invited me to an open mic. When she did, she told me to get 3 minutes together. Now, y'all see I already talk fast. I had about 20 minutes worth of stuff in 3 minutes. I had to get it out, everything. And I was motor mouth that day. And people were cracking up. I even brought one of my crackhead aunties. She brought her finest.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. She brought the finest ones. You know, the ones who don't know that they crackhead. Hey, baby. You know them. And so I had the place packed. Cracking up. The minute I did it, I knew that it was like, I felt like this was what I was designed to be doing. I just knew it. Next thing you know, I was just hitting stage after stage, and I end up meeting this comedy legend here in the city of Detroit. His name is Kool-Aid. He passed away from cancer, rest his soul. That kind of took me under his wing, showed me a lot of things. Next thing you know, by me being a social worker, and I used to do protective services after foster care, okay?
Oh, wow.
I was so worried about my clients coming to shows and hearing Tiffany Barber that I started with T-Barb. I said, well, I figure if they call me Tiffany Barber or Savings Barber, they know me from work. Run! But if they call me T-Barb, I know it's exclusively comedy. So that's how T-Barb was born. You know, she's still a little toddler.
She's in her infancy stages.
She's still in infancy. So that's how I came up with T-Barb. That's how I started doing comedy. And ever since I started, I've just always been doing it. And I feel like everybody has a divine destiny or something that you're meant to do. And when you tap into that, God will open up the doors and pathways, and things will happen for you as long as you're walking in your focus.
I cannot agree with you more. I think that you had all of these, I think, God moments, right? You know, I say God moments and people say different things, you know, divine intervention, universe, you know, serendipity, call it what you will, but you had these special moments that were meant in the, you know, map of the stars of Tiffany Barber that gave you this instance where you got 3 minutes on stage and it literally changed your life, and it was euphoric, and it was something that showed you a light that had been inside you but probably really brought it to the surface. And the fact that your coping mechanism through all of these different things that you have been through, you've been able to carry that and keep that with you, I commend you, because I know so many people that have stories. Everyone's story, like you said, everyone's story has a voice and everyone's story is important, but you've been through so much, and to not build up a brick wall, but actually, you know, embrace it and allow that to exude you and to take you to new existences that maybe you never thought possible is inspirational. I think people are going to listen to this and they're going to see that no matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, you know, the one thing I hate is people always say, well, you know, it's hereditary, or things can be hereditary, medical conditions, but you can choose to overcome everything. And that's what you chose to do. You chose to change. You chose to inspire. You chose to choose joy and your life and become the person you are today. So tell me a little bit more about today as you are right now. What does that mean for all in for you? How are you being all in your life?
I'm being all in because, first off, I think that transparency and being truthful with yourself is so important. And there are a lot of people who hide from their past. They run from their past. They want to act like they don't have a past or they grew up a certain way instead of embracing the fact that they were able to change and break the cycle, like you said, or break the chains. So for me, being all in means being my altruistic self, which is very hard to do. It is very hard to be truly who you are and truly who you want to be. But once you start to master, and I'm not sure if you ever master that, but once you start to work on it and really, really give into it, you'll feel so much lighter and so much better. And for me, like right now, as far as entertainment, you know, I have the Prime Video special out, the Getting Off on Amazon Prime.
Hilarious. Watch it. You can watch it from your phone if you're lazy, or you can put it on your TV. It's great.
Tell them about it on Prime Video. Getting Off, not with a G for the grammar police. It's Getting. We ghetto.
Getting.
So just working on that, just continuing to grow my craft. Also, as you said, I'm a vegan, believe it or not. First ghetto vegan in the house. So just continuing to work on that and working on yourself, mind, body, and soul. A lot of people just think it's one thing or the next. And continuing to work on my self-esteem. I'm not too, my head not big. I don't have an ego where I cannot admit that you constantly working on self-esteem, self-improvement, and just being okay with yourself. Especially in today's world that's so superficial. We superficial today. True. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got this plastic bodies, and nothing against plastic bodies, because trust me, I'll get a couple more dollars. You might like them.
I'd be a Botox queen.
There's a different butt she got that ain't the butt you had with Savannah. You got a new butt.
He's rocking on that Tiffany Barber Chime 2 booty.
Tiffany booty. but I'm just saying, you know, you have so many things with social media to constantly compare yourself to things that maybe aren't even realistic all the time. So just being okay with myself, continuing to strive for my goals and my dreams, no matter what, because there are days when it's very hard. I don't feel like, oh, I'm not getting as far, or maybe even with the book Faith Over Fear. Okay. You know, I might feel like, well, nobody got it today, but if you cannot lose if you don't quit. You know what I mean? The only way you lose, or the only way it won't happen, is if you give up. So if you continue to strive. And another thing I always think about is when you see like stars, or you see somebody who you feel is on this pedestal, you don't realize that you can be there. So if you can envision it in your mind, whatever your goal is, you can have it and achieve it. So that's all in. Trying to achieve, girl.
That is all in. So if we fast forward to 10 years from now, what does that look like for you?
I'm floating in the moon. Like, with the way the world is going, I'm living on Mars. On the float. But no.
Completely quarantined in a full mask.
I got a globe around my head. I got $10,000 worth of air in my globe. You know, realistically, I would like to be in movies. So my next goal right now is to get in a movie, a sitcom, something of that nature where I can really express, because I got a lot of characters and I'm not schizophrenic. They just characters. You know what I'm saying? So get them out. So that's what it looks like. And hopefully creating some generational wealth for my son, for myself, giving back to my community, maybe starting some type of program for underprivileged kids or kids of incarcerated parents, foster kids. That's always been one of my big things that I've been into. I actually mentor a couple foster kids now, and just letting underprivileged people, or even people with low self-esteem, you don't have to be underprivileged, but a person who doesn't believe in themselves, I want to help them believe in themselves. Hopefully I can share my story on a bigger platform just to let people know, you know, this what's up, you know, you can do what you want to do. And in 10 years, hopefully I'll be making a bigger impact in the world and making the world laugh. Because trust me, laughter heals. And right now we need a lot of healing. So y'all need to start laughing right now.
That is so true. And you know, with that, I just got to thank you so much for coming on. And I just want to tell you, you know, from you being authentic in your life and using your personal testimony to help others, it's going to help them be their authentic self. So I commend you for that. I commend you as a woman, as a human, for just being out there and putting yourself out there and being vulnerable and using your story to strive you to bigger heights and unimaginable places and taking other people along with you. It's been an honor just for the short time I've known you, and I can't wait to see you accomplish each and everything you just described in that 10-year plan. And I truly thank you for being all in your existence.
Thank you so much, Savannah, and the same for you as well. You have a beautiful and amazing spirit. You Thanks. Radiate light, and I just thank you so much, and thank you to all your listeners. Don't forget tbarbisfunny.com. Keep listening to the show, keep supporting, and I look forward to hearing nothing but amazing, big, and great things from you.
Thank you, and we are all in, and we're out.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app, allow push notifications, and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.